Join me as I have my Bible open to Acts chapter 10. We are continuing to look at this wonderful book in the movement of the gospel out from Jerusalem and to the farthest reaches of the earth as the Lord commissioned the disciples to do. Here today we began reading of Peter's opportunity to do just that. Acts chapter 10. Here the reading from our Lord's inspired, inerrant word. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day about 3 PM, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel spoke to him, had gone, Cornelius called 2 of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry, wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its 4 corners. It contained all kinds of 4-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out and asked if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, 3 men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." I will stop there for a moment in the reading of our Lord's word. In Galatians 3:28, Paul writes, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Then the Apostle John records in John 17, a passage that we studied in depth while in Belize this past year. Jesus is praying, and he says these words, I pray for those who will believe in me, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me, and I am in you. Here in Acts chapter 10, Peter is being taught. He's being taught that believers, all believers, are to be at peace with each other, that there is to be a singularity among Christians, that we are to be one. That is, that we are to be one with God the Father through the completed work of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that we are to be one with fellow believers. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Prejudices, biases, traditions that seclude or exclude, ideas of separation, practices of individuality, none of these have a place in the Christian faith. In our passage today, a devout Jew, Peter, given to the exclusionary traditions of his faith, of the Old Testament, is about to learn a lesson. A very challenging, very difficult lesson for him because of his past, his traditions. It is a lesson for us as well. His teaching is for us as well. Take a look around you. Look around you. We all look alike. There are no African Americans in our congregation. There are no Hispanics in our congregation. Homeless, the poorest of the poor. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Peter was indeed a Jew through and through. As we know Peter's story from other readings, he had been raised, instructed, trained diligently in the customs of the Old Testament. Here, when the Lord, this angel rather, said to him, kill and eat, it just, because of his upbringing, he didn't understand. Peter was trained in customs that were intended to call the people of God out from the world. The customs, the traditions of the Old Testament, they were intended to call them out from the world to be different. God said, be holy as I am holy. These traditions of the past that Peter was so well trained in, they were intended to teach him, the Israelites, what it meant to be separate from worldly practices so that they could move more toward a place of holiness before God. Peter knew these things well. But a problem crept in. These practices that were meant to take the people toward holy intentions, that intention had become lost. And instead of seeing these practices as instruments to move the person closer to holiness and to separate them from worldly practices, the people of God began to see these as signs of favoritism. The people thought that God favored them above all else, and these practices were for the Jewish people alone. And in one regard, it's hard to argue against that because of the strong teachings of the Old Testament. But they had taken these practices a bit too far. And from these, and from this abuse of these practices, racial pride and prejudices, hatred and exclusionary habits began to form. The Israelites thought themselves better. And Peter was about to be taught that that is not the case. You see, the Israelites thought it a sin to even enter into a house of a Gentile. The Gentiles were referred to as dogs, the very lowest of creatures. They thought it a sin to touch anything that a Gentile had touched, to eat anything that a Gentile had touched, prepared, was simply not ever done. Here in chapter 10, all of that changed. Peter's about to learn that these exclusionary practices were just that, practices that had become a stumbling block, practices that had become a barrier to the growth and movement of the church. And faith in Jesus Christ was for everyone, not just the Jewish nation. And very clearly, it must be known that these prejudicial exclusionary practices had to be overcome for the church to be what our Lord had desired for it to be. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Here in this chapter, we see two things that God has used to bring about the desired change in the church. First, the vision. We know this vision well. We've studied it many times. It is a vision of this sheet of sorts being lowered down from heaven by its four corners. And on this sheet were many animals, reptiles, birds that included things that were forbidden for the Jewish person. Peter was trained well in what to eat and what not to eat according to Jewish law. But here he was shown that through a vision from heaven, all things made by God are suitable for eating, and nothing made by God should be referred to now as unclean. And Peter was told to kill and eat. Think about this. If you can whatsoever, put yourself in Peter's position. I know it will be challenging for us, but put yourself in Peter's position when he was told to kill these things and eat them. It went against everything he had been trained and taught. These things that Peter had been told not to do, here the angel of the Lord was telling him to do it. We're told that Peter pondered these things for quite some time. It says in verse 19, he was still thinking about these things as the men approached from Cornelius. I can imagine that Peter was shocked, confused, frustrated. How would you feel if something you had been taught all your life, you come to find out that that's not the case any longer? Challenging. This vision ripped apart everything Peter thought he knew about God, about being a Jew, about being elect, about being righteous. It just tore all of that apart. The second thing that Peter was facing here, rocked his world, is his visit to Cornelius. His visit with Cornelius. Look at verse 19 again. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs and do not hesitate to go with them. These are Gentiles that have come to get Peter. Peter went down and said to the men, I am the one you're looking for. Why have you come? The men told them, and they traveled the next day. These men spending the night with Peter traveled the next day to see Cornelius. Two things. Peter invited the men who came to get him into the home where he was staying. He invited Gentiles into the home where he was staying. And then he traveled to the home of Cornelius and spent the night there, stayed with Cornelius. The scripture doesn't tell us, But do you think he shared a meal with Cornelius? I would assume that he did. Remember, a Jew was not to associate with a Gentile. This was breaking the law. Not civil law, Jewish law. Peter was breaking. Here in these two events, we have a total dismantling of the dietary customs, the things that had become a stumbling block, the things that had become a barrier to the growth of the church. They were done away with here in these few short passages. Fortunately, on this occasion, Peter was a good student. He followed and became the vessel that God was looking for, that God needed. And we have to know, we have to be clear and see the effect of the tearing down of these barriers. What happened when these prejudices, these exclusionary practices were removed? Peter was able to share the gospel, which is the point of the passage here, which is the point here of removing the barriers. Look with me at verse 34. Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but witnessed by whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach the gospel, to preach to the people and to testify that he was the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The house of Cornelius believed. They were baptized. And according to other passages, Cornelius is acknowledged as the first Gentile believer. This is truly a magnificent day in the history of the church. And it's a day everyone in this room should be particularly thankful for. We number ourselves among the Gentiles of that definition of that day. Folks, you know me, I will be blunt and to the point. Look what happens when racial pride, prejudices, bias, hatred, exclusionary habits are removed. Look what happens when we accept the people of God, no matter what color or nationality. The gospel can be shared and converts can be won to our Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you the question. I ask us all the question. How many of us allow racial differences, prejudice? I'll go so far as to even to say hatred. Religious traditions and other exclusionary habits, of which there are many. How many of us allow these kinds of things to stand in the way of sharing the love of Jesus Christ? The gospel of Jesus Christ. What prevents us from sharing the gospel with the people we meet from day to day? Your cohort that might be a different color. Someone who lives just up the street that's a different nationality. Do our traditions stop us, prevent us from moving outside the box, as it were, and tear down those barriers to share the message? What stands in the way? I had lunch with a gentleman this week, and he was telling me of an occasion of a conversation he had with his 15-year-old daughter. The daughter said, "Dad, I want you to meet my boyfriend." He said, "Okay." This young lady is Caucasian. The boyfriend is African American. And her dad was thrilled because he was raised to be very prejudiced. And he said, in his daughter's 15 years, and he has five kids, in his kids' lives, he did everything he could to break that sin. And when she came home and said, "My boyfriend is African American," he rejoiced. How many of you would? There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, when it comes to God's people. We are all one. We are all one in Christ Jesus. One in Christ Jesus. I pray you would do some significant soul searching. And if there's something that stands in the way along these lines, that you would pray, "Holy Spirit, come and give me the courage to rejoice in someone different than me."